We are stewarding God's work. It's not our work, it's God's work. It's God's thing, he's got it. It's his witness in the world. And for the time that I'm working at Tear Fund, I expect the time that Emmanuel's working at Tear Fund, we are bringing our offering of our skills to this work to honour him. And I feel that that's a really important thing to say, because it is God's work, it's not our work. It is a privilege to join with you in partnership, particularly your commitment around Connected Church and Rwanda, to join together in that. You may know that last year was Tear Fund's 50th birthday. Tear Fund started in a crisis. The Biafra crisis in Nigeria was across the TV screens, perhaps one of the first times that that level of famine was seen by people. And Christians in this country said, we have to do something. But actually, the social justice movement wasn't particularly well developed at that point. And so people just sent money to the Evangelical Alliance and said, do something. So Tear Fund, the tier of Tear Fund, stands for the Evangelical Alliance Relief Fund, Tear Fund. So that's where the name comes from. Not a lot of people know that. But that's where Tear Fund was birthed. It was birthed out of Christian people saying, we need to do something about the extreme poverty that we see in front of us. So Tear Fund's mission or vision is to see all people freed from poverty, living transformed lives, and reaching their God-given potential. And I think even just in the service today, you know, we've had that sense of how much Jesus wants us to live our God-given potential wherever we are, whatever we do, in Loughton and in Kigali. So we join together in a way. The good news that is, in the last 10 years, Tear Fund has probably reached about 48 million beneficiaries with the work about really trying to bring people out of extreme poverty. And Emmanuel's going to talk about what it's like in Rwanda. But still, extreme poverty is an issue. And that's people living on sort of less than $1.50 a day. And extreme poverty is being exacerbated by climate, and Caroline was praying for that, and by conflict. And there's a huge concentration of that impact in the continent of Africa. So, as I say, I am the supporting act of the main feature, which is Emmanuel, who's going to say a bit about himself and just lead us in a reflection on that passage and work in Rwanda.
Thank you, Karen. Good morning. My name is Emmanuel. I'm from Rwanda. I've been here for the last 2 days, and it's always a delight to come to a church and to share what we do, but also to share the Word of God. And thank you for having me here. Thank you for taking a risk with me. We usually preach for an hour, but I will just go for 10 minutes or so. Thank you. First of all, I want to thank you so much for agreeing to partner with our Lord Jesus and following him with us as we follow him where the need is greatest. When I joined Tear Fund 12 years ago, the tagline was, be part of a miracle, before we change to following Jesus where the need is greatest. And it's the same thing, really. It is the same thing. And the reading we just had, I thought it informed my what I'm going to say today. And what I'm going to say today to you is that we all need to partner with the miracle worker. We need to partner with him, because that's what we were created for. We were created as partners of God in this world to bring hope and happiness to those in need. And it began a long, long time ago. And when God was creating a human being, he said, let us create man in our own image. But then he said something very important. He said, so that they may have dominion over everything else. Christ became a partner to many of us and others who were there before us. And when he was in this world so many years ago, he was a human being. He felt what we felt. He feels what we feel even today. And the passage we've just read, he was going through a very difficult patch. Somehow, I mean, we all do. We all experience very difficulties in our lives, and especially when you lose a loved one like he did. He had just lost a cousin, a very close person to him, quite close that he actually said once in Luke, I think it's chapter 9, he said, of all men born of women, there is none like Joan. So he had just lost that man who was a relative, who was close to him, but more so a ministry partner, somebody he had partnered with. And he wanted to be alone, and he went away, and he was hoping to be alone. And then the Bible says that a crowd followed him to where he was going. He went to, he was crossing the sea on a boat. And the crowd went around the shore to meet him on the other side, a long distance. They must have been very fast people because they outran the boat when it was crossing. Something that I can't do now, unfortunately. I can't run that fast, but I'd love to run after Christ all the time. And when he saw them, he did not just see people following him. He did not just see people coming to bother him. He did not just see people running after him. He saw them, and he saw beyond the crowd, and he saw God in those crowd, in that crowd. And he had compassion. He had compassion for them. He did not say, why are they following me? Change course, go to the other side. I need some place to hide. You know, and this was not a very unique situation with Christ. It is a situation that we all encounter in our lives. We sometimes want to be alone. We don't want to be bothered. We don't want to shoulder other people's problems. And it is very common. It happens, and it is very human. It is normal. If you have never experienced that, you are either superhuman or you are an angel that lives here. And he began, interestingly, they were following him, and he began to heal them. Because he's Christ, he could see their problem. He began to heal them. He began to heal the sick. And then it happened, once he'd finished his consultation, it was late. It was late. Then he had people around him. His disciples had gone with him. And the situation looked impossible and hopeless. It was getting late. There was no food. It was in an isolated place. Just like we all do. Just like we all feel. I mean, there are situations that we encounter every day. And in my last 12 years of work, I've encountered some situations that have made me feel like I want to run. You know, I want to just run and go away somewhere where nobody will find me and just keep quiet. And sometimes I've felt like kneeling down and looking up and saying, God, why do you do this? And that's not his fault, usually. It's not. It's the world we live in. That is how it is. And we encounter those situations and we want to live in them. And we don't want to live with them. We don't want them to affect us. We want some peace and quiet. We don't want situations where it's hopeless and there's nothing to do and everything seems impossible. So, and it was getting, you know, there was not enough money to buy food, and these people needed to be fed. And after all, they'd just come. We don't know where they came from. Why can't they go back and, you know, and find food wherever they were? And the most logical course of action was, you know, send them away, you know. Do away with this problem. This is not our problem. We didn't call them. They just came. They just came. And that's what happens often. And that's very normal, by the way. It is very normal with people. It is very normal with us. It's very normal with human beings. And it is very normal in places where we live and people are indifferent about the situations around them. And it happens all the time. But Jesus says something. He says something that is very interesting, and he says, do not send them away. Because that is Jesus. He never sends anybody away. He never sends anybody away. And that's why I think we changed from being part of a miracle and saying we will follow Jesus wherever he goes, because he's the only one who allows everybody to follow him, even when he hasn't invited them. They go with him. They come with him. And then because you're with him and he's a miracle worker, then, you know, you will have followed him to do something. Then you partner with people who are hungry. They're hungry. We didn't invite them, yes, but that doesn't take away the fact that they're hungry. It doesn't take away the fact that they have no food. And then, interestingly, Andrew, who was with him, who was his disciple, and this is recorded in John chapter 6, he says, there is a young boy here who only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And remember, this is more than 10,000 people. Because they counted men, and men were just 5,000. And imagine now, they'd come with their wives and their children and all those who are sick, and, you know, many of them. So more than 10,000 people. And Andrew says, there's a boy here who has come. He has 5 loaves and 2 fish. And it doesn't make sense. But then a lot of things doesn't make sense in our lives either. There are a lot of things that don't make sense. It doesn't make sense that when I'm going through a rough patch, then I have to give. It doesn't make sense that I'm going through a rough patch and I come to church and I'm looking for solace in the church. And then one of the things on the program of the day is tithe and offering, and that's what we are talking about. Or we are talking about some poor people in a distance, far away. Some of these things don't make sense. But Jesus says, bring them to me. He says, bring them to me. And you cannot begin to imagine what a little that you place in his hands can do. So with 5 loaves and 2, just 2 fish, he feeds more than 10,000 people. That is the God that we worship. That is Jesus Christ. That's who he is. He is a way maker. He is a miracle worker. He does that. And every miracle that he has worked, he partners with people like me and you. And what he just says is, bring what you have. Bring it to me. No, it doesn't matter how small it is. It doesn't matter how small it is. It will change lives, and lives will be transformed. There is a lady, her name is Consolé. She's part of our project with Kigali Diocese, and I happen to be one of the pastors in Kigali Diocese. So I didn't bring you greetings from my congregation, the English congregation in St. Stephen's Cathedral in Kigali. And Consolé is from one of the parishes around the Kigali Deanery, and when we started working on Urban Poor, Consolé was still very young, but she was abandoned by her mother, and she became pregnant at the age of 13. It was not out of consent. She was raped because she was living on the streets, and she became pregnant. And she gave birth to a child, and when the child was only a year, she gave birth to another one. And she did not have any income, and she had no source of income. She did not have any money. She lived in a slum, and she had to look after 2 children. The first one, she didn't know who the father was. The second one, she knew about the father but had refused to take responsibility. And she took to drugs and alcohol, and she was, she became very violent, and she was fighting all over. And one day she was going to commit suicide. She went and bought a rope with the only money she had, and she wanted to hang herself. And then when she was passing by the Kichukiro parish, which is one of the parishes that we work with in the Diocese of Kigali, she saw the gates were open, and that was the only place where it was open. And she peeped in, and the doors were open as well. So she went and sat in there, and people were praying quietly. And somebody actually stood up and said, somebody was going to commit suicide today. And God says, come here, and your life will be changed. She had nothing, and she just took the rope and went to that person and said, I was going to kill myself, but you said that my life will be changed. How are you going to change my life? And she was visibly, intoxicated, and she'd left her children at home and all that, and the lady started talking to her, and they invited her to join. And she joined one of the group that was forming, and the only money she had was 200 francs. And 200 francs has no denomination in pounds, so I couldn't. It's very little in pounds. I'm not very familiar with. I've never been able to come to terms with counting English money. So it's been very difficult to convert it into Rwanda francs. But 200. Imagine if you divide that by 1,000. That's what she had, and she started contributing that together with others. But she went through a learning process. And they were able to, later on, they were able to rent a market stall where they sold their goods. And today, when I went to visit Consolé last week before I came here, she told me that she can now send her two children to school. She can afford to send her two children to a nursery school. And she goes to the market and buys goods and comes and sells them from there. So she's able to buy her own insurance, her health insurance, and she is getting treatment because in the process she had been infected with HIV and AIDS. She can get herself treatment from the nearest clinic, which is free, but she needs to go on a very particular dietary arrangement and all that, so she needs money, and her life is much stable today. Now, that does not come from millions of pounds, another thing. That comes from contributions that we get from people like you in a place like this, and that is what it means to partner with a miracle worker. We don't have a budget as big as the Rwandan government. We do not. We have a very small budget compared to what they have. We do not have a budget as big as the World Bank and other organizations. But just with the little that we place in the hands of Christ, lives can be changed and can be transformed. And we can then stand and say, we have brought good news to the poor, good news that brings them back into God's flock. May God help you and bless you so much. I will invite Karen now to come back. And I don't want to spend a whole hour.
You know, just a really small story of the many, many examples of what God does with a little, with our efforts in the midst of so much need, if you like. And where Emmanuel lives in Rwanda is surrounded by South Sudan, Democratic Republic of Congo, Central African Republic. You know, there's immense need in all of these places. So Tear Fund actually works in 50 countries, but some of the biggest need is very much in and around where Emmanuel works and lives in that part of Africa. And as Emmanuel said, that, you know, we basically are funded by people like you and I. It's through churches and individual givings that most of Tear Fund's funding comes. So I guess, you know, we're here just to just explain about Tear Fund, but also just to say that if you're thinking about your giving, and you feel prompted, we would love to partner with you in a more ongoing way. And if you find on your seats, you'll have a card which talks about less is more, which I guess that's what Emmanuel's been focused on, is what God does with our little to create more. And in it, you'll see a story of a mother in Nigeria who, just with some agricultural skills training, is able to increase the yield that she has, which makes all the difference to her. And it's those marginal changes that a small amount makes that makes all the difference for children to be sent to school, to get an education, for parents not to, you know, be able to look after their children, makes all the difference. So as Nigel Harris, who's our boss, says, the church is God's plan A. It's us. And we are called to be good news to the poor. And I know from looking at your website, actually, the amazing outreach that you do in this community. But we want to encourage you to partner with us as we work in those 50 countries to go where the need is greatest, following Jesus. So if you feel that's something that fits in with your personal giving, then we would love to be in receipt of regular donations from you. That would be amazing for us. But also just to say thank you for being a connected church, making a commitment as a community to us for Malcolm's leadership in that. We really, really appreciate it. We feel like we're in it together. We happen to work for Tear Fund, but it's the mission of us as God's people to be good news to the poor. So we're really grateful for listening to us, having us, inviting us, and for your support. Thank you. We'll be here at the end, at the back, if you want to ask us any questions, if you want to fill in your cards, any questions at all, please come and talk to us.
Thank you. Can we give them a round? Thank you. You okay? We're gonna close with another song, but I just want to say thank you. And it's a simple message, isn't it, to bring what you've got to Jesus, but it's the doing of it, and I pray that we could do that together. So let's all take action in some way, locally and globally, together, to see what God wants us to do. May we stand if you're able. Please do stand. And also at the end, we'd love to pray, because the Holy Spirit has been moving this morning in all kinds of ways, different ways, and we would love to pray for those who would just value someone to stand with them in prayer. It might be about what God was doing earlier on, or something you've heard through Emmanuel and Karen, or it might be something else completely. Maybe there's healing, or dip the Lord together.